quite a lot of time on discussing the scripture in Acts 3:19 through 21. So this is on page 188. We're to begin on page 189. So maybe just a side note, going back to the footnote on page 188, Brother Russell refers to two hymns about the thought of of our Lord turning his face back. Show thy reconciled face. That's in hymn 253. And show thy face and all is bright. And that's hymn 134. So just a little, reminders of, those phrases in the hymn. So we begin on page 189. We're going to refer a little bit to the, what we discussed in the previous chapter about the days of Noah. So we need a reader for that. And I'm going to ask Sister Stephanie if she'll read that for us. The long paragraph. It's almost the full page. So take a deep breath, Sister Stephanie, and read that for us.
Now call to mind what was shown in the preceding chapter concerning the manner of our Lord's return and appearing, lest you stumble here because of the erroneous ideas on that point. Remember that as the days of Noah were, so shall also the presence, Greek parousia, of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they knew not, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Remember also what we have already gathered from the inspired teaching, that only those faithfully watching unto the sure word of prophecy and loving and looking for his appearing will be able to discern his presence until he makes it manifest to the world in flaming fire, taking vengeance in the great time of trouble. The fact then that his presence is not known and generally recognized by the world or even among Christians is no argument against this truth. The world has no faith in prophecy and, of course, cannot see anything in its light. And lukewarm Christians, and such are the large majority, are paying no attention to the sure word of prophecy. And many who profess to be watching are reading the prophecies through the colored glasses of old and long-cherished errors and with their eyes miserably crossed by prejudice. All such should go to the great physician for some of the eye salve or meekness, and forever discard the colored glasses of the traditions of men and all theories of their own and of others which will not harmonize with every testimony of God's word.
Thank you, Sister Stephanie. There's a lot of scriptures referred to in this paragraph too that I'm wondering if some looked it up. We could maybe read that. Unless you want to make a comment on what you read, Sister Stephanie.
Well, I just appreciate only those faithfully watching will be able to discern his presence. And the world has no faith in prophecy. And then I love the part down at the last line where it says, forever discard the traditions of men which will not harmonize with every testimony of God's word. And that's how we know that we have the truth.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. I remember Brother Igor emphasizing that point that we're blessed with the Holy Spirit. Even our Christian friends don't understand prophecy. Let's have 2 Peter 1:19 read. So maybe Oksana would read it for us. 2 Peter 1:19.
We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do all, or do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts.
Thank you. Thank you for reading that. So we are blessed with having this sure word. And the phrase that talks about the, I think we talked about this in the previous chapter as well, the flaming fire taking vengeance. That's 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8. So Sister Robin, would you read that for us? 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8.
Okay. 2 Thessalonians 1 8. It just flipped at me. Okay. Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Is that the one?
No, that doesn't seem right. It's in the chat.
On
if Sunday. You want to read it from the chat. Second Thessalonians 1 verse 8. Yeah.
That's what she was reading.
Oh, yeah? I didn't hear the...
Different translation.
Different translation. Yeah, it threw me off. Because it didn't mention flaming fire and vengeance. I didn't hear that. Anyway, okay, these are the scriptures that are referred to in the paragraph. And then, of course, we've talked about Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. Is there any other thoughts anyone wants to bring out for what Brother Russell's telling us here in this paragraph? Any? Brother Walt, and then Sister Robin.
I think a good companion text to that one you had read in 2 Peter 1:19 is the 16th verse that Peter speaking here says, we saw this vision, were eyewitnesses of his majesty, but then the power of the 19th verse, but we also have a more sure word of prophecy. We don't need the visual 2020 kind of literal vision, but we have a more sure word of prophecy that we can stand on and have our faith built upon. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Walt. And, of course, in the 12th verse, it talks about Peter putting us in remembrance of these things that we're, even though we're established in the present truth, just reminding all of us that we have the sure word of prophecy. Sister Robin.
I had gone over in Genesis, as it says, in the days of Noah, and I was reviewing in my mind. It was 100 years that Noah was building that ark. It was a long time. You know how sometimes we see a building going up? You know, you take notice. And this ark was being built for 100 years. But in the same thought, you sort of get complacent when you see that it's up. He's still doing it. That building is still going up. And pretty soon you become complacent. And, you know, you would think with such a very awesome building as the Ark. It was huge, that they would have paid attention. And so I think it's same as in our days, the prophecies that were all foretold. People had an idea on what would happen, and they became complacent. Over.
Thank you, Sister Rama. Witnessing that, a large ark being built for 100 years, and there were many scoffers, as we talked about in the previous chapter as well. And that's what we see today about us too. All these events, and people don't recognize our Lord's presence. Brother Sherry, please.
Brother Bill, the text in Matthew 24, the sequence ends with 39 when Jesus says, and knew not until the flood came. So the signs preceded, but this they knew not. And again, going back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, Peter says, for this they are willingly ignorant. And he picks up with the same thoughts from Jesus in 6 and 7, that the world was then overflowed with water, and the heavens and earth, which are now, are kept against the day of judgment. And then he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of these things. So, without reading every word here, verse 5 says they were willingly ignorant, and verse 8 says, be not ignorant. And that was the whole point that Jesus says, that the world then in Matthew 24, they knew not until the day came. So I think this is why Brother Russell is picking up in this paragraph saying that the watchers will know. Those that are watching, faithful watchers unto the sure word of prophecy, will see the day of the Lord coming, and will see when Jesus has arrived and when this new era of Jubilee should begin. Over.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brother Jerry. And as we read the context, the following scriptures that go all the way down to the 14th verse, really describes how we are watchers. We should be aware. Brother Igor.
Yes, Brother Bill. I appreciate very much Brother Jerry's words. And I am there as well, and I'm looking at those who are lukewarm. Lukewarm? Ah, lukewarm. That's right. That's the way I was. Okay. So they are not paying attention to this word of prophecy. And the verse from the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, where it says we have also a more sure word of prophecy, I think it's speaking about the understanding of the prophecy. I think it's speaking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that's why we seeing and understanding this, because we're begotten of the Holy Spirit. And continually, if we're looking down to these verses in 2 Peter, verse 20, it says, knowing the first that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. And 21, I really like it. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And I remember when we had these debates over the years with JW, we were mentioning these verses. You see, Heavenly Father spoke with the man and shared the plan, how it was going to be, and the prophecy would be connected through. So, and we were speaking about Brother Russell because he was the last one. Because JW saying that the Rutherford actually took over and he continued to share other things. So, pretty much that's what I'm saying here. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Igor, for those thoughts. And you know, Brother Russell cites a quote from Revelation 3:18. Maybe we could read that. Oh, Brother Bill, go ahead. Do you want to read that, Brother Bill, or do you have another thought?
This is, go ahead.
Oh, I was thinking of 2 Peter 3, 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That goes along with the flaming fire. And seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? And then looking for and hasting, 12, 2 Peter 3, 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming, we know that's a parousia, of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I think that flaming fire in the 2 Thessalonians is we see anarchistic movements all over. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Donna, for expanding on the context of 2 Peter 1 verse, or the 3 that Brother Jerry brought to our attention. So, Brother Bill, do you want to read that text that's partially quoted? And it talks about the ISAT, that message to the Church of Laodicea, the Revelation 3:18.
Okay, Revelation 3:18. I counsel you, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version right now, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And salve, to anoint your eyes, so that you may see.
Thank you, Brother Bill. I should have had you start with the 16th verse. So,
do you want me to read 16 and 17 as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is from English Standard Version. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Any thoughts that you wanted to?
We realize here that he's really speaking to the nominal system. But in addition, within that system is the true church. So he's speaking of this outward condition of pride which permeated the nominal system with all their gold and glory and riches and cathedrals and so forth, thinking that they were blessed as a result of that. But in their hearts, they were naked. They were poor. And so there's kind of this individual message coming to the church class. I counsel you to buy of me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. Sister Donna has a thought.
No, I like your thoughts, but I was thinking of the eye salve and then Isaiah 33:17. Mine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. We are blessed to have the eye salve and have our eyes open to the truth.
Thank you, Sister Donna. Was that Isaiah 33, what?
17.
I remember a talk by Brother Lorenz. He talked about the Lord's medicine chest, and I remember him referring to this as one of the medicines that I have. A hand from the meeting room.
Isaiah 33:17.
Okay. And you're there you go. Okay. A hand from the meeting room?
Brother Bill, I'm thinking about the seeds of the truth, like Matthew 13. The seeds is the truth, so it was four places where it fall. Next to the road, on the rock, in the thrones, and in a good place of the ground.
The good ground,
so
yeah.
So these are the attitude of the people. So it's very clear that those who have a good heart, it will bring fruits, and God will discover the truth for them. Because we are not in the darkness. When we recognize Jesus, he is lighting us with the prophecy, with the word of God. But this has to take a lot of searching, our time. This means our consecration to see God's will and to see what he is teaching us. So because of this many attitude of the people, they cannot understand the truth. Because when it's coming up after you receiving the word of God in your heart, it takes time and it's coming many trials and persecution. So you have to be, to overcome this, to not discourage, so you can go to be a good ground. But many today, when they like the truth, but they seemed very discouraged. And also I think the most of the people, it's on the thorns ground. They are very busy with other things, so with many distraction. So it's hard to have time for the truth and for God's service and to serve the brethren. It's hard. And sometimes the self don't like to do that because it's more easy to live fleshly life than the consecrated life. Thank you. Yeah. But this is taking a lot of sacrifice and to have a very clear heart that God can discover this truth for the church.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Luchika. And Brother Bill put in the chat the account of the same parable, Luke 8:15.
Mention Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. About
Malachi
3, the gold.
2 and 3 and 4?
4.
You
no, 4.
Read those
only
for
2
us?
And 3.
You want to read those for us?
I can do that. Mm.
Yeah.
But who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. So we are of Levites that God is purifying us with the trials this time, preparing for good works in future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Luchika. Any other thoughts? Well, seeing no other hands, let's read the next paragraph. And, I like this one phrase, you know, people, you know, we have the phrase talking about looking through the world through rose-colored glasses or something, and it talks about that whereas Christians, and such are the large majority, are paying no attention to the sure word prophecy, and many who profess to be watching are reading the prophecies through the colored glasses of old and long cherished errors. And I remember when Sister Stephanie was reading that, she seemed to emphasize that. Their cherished errors, and with their eyes miserably crossed by prejudice. Okay, let's read the next paragraph then. It's only, let's see. Yeah, it's just, okay, just that one short paragraph. Maybe Brother Jim would read it for us.
Yes, Brother Bill. But neither the world's ignorance and unbelief, nor the lukewarm indifference and prejudice of the great majority of professed Christians shall prove stumbling blocks to God's elect, to those who in simple childlike faith accept the testimony of his blessed word. Such cannot stumble, nor is it possible that they should be deceived. By their faith in God's leading, such will overcome all. Fear not, precious jewels of the Lord's own choosing. Lift up your heads and rejoice, knowing that your deliverance, your exaltation, and glory draweth nigh. Luke 21:28. And in Luke 21:28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That sort of goes back to my earlier question. And over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jim. Did you want to comment on the paragraph at all?
Well, I just was I guess yeah, I kind of, that's what I say, it sort of goes along with what I was talking about earlier. And to those who in simple childlike faith accept the testimony of his blessed word, you know, it goes back to, you know, such cannot stumble, nor is it possible that they should be deceived. I guess it's just, I consider myself having faith, but, you know, I guess that I should have trust the faith that I have, and by their faith and God's leading, such will overcome all. So I really don't have any other comments other than that. Over.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Brother Jim. Sister Donna or Brother Bill?
Are we open? Okay.
Yes.
I've underlined it, the first line on page 190, jewels of the Lord's own choosing. That reminds me of a sister. Dolores Andrus used to say that all the time when she was addressing a letter or something. And it's from Malachi 3:17. And they shall be mine, say the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. So again, the Lord likening the church to jewels. Just had to say that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, another quote from Malachi, the third chapter, that goes along with Sister Luchika's comment. Thank you, Sister Donna. Sister Margaret.
Yeah, on the phrase that Brother Jim particularly picked up on, about the church, what is it? To those who in simple, childlike faith accept the testimony of his blessed word. I think Luke 18:16-17 are helpful along this line. Luke 18:16-17. Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in not no wise enter therein. And I think of one of the particular points we think of children, childlike faith and so forth, is that they are very teachable. That's a learning time as children. And so we want to always be learning about the Lord and the truth as long as we, are here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Margaret. Kind of reminds me of Brother Alan Springer's talk today about being sheep and following the Good Shepherd. Brother Jerry.
Brother Bill, Brother Russell is bringing out the responsibility and privileges of faith and watching. But at the first, he mentions these stumbling blocks, and I just thought it was interesting. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things he mentions here. Ignorance, unbelief, lukewarm, indifference, and prejudice. It seems that to me that many of these stumbling blocks can be assisted and overcome. You know, ignorance can be cured with information, and prejudice can be addressed by objectivity and so forth. But this item of indifference is really hard to overcome. If someone says, I don't know and I don't care and it doesn't make any difference to me, how do you reach that mind? Anyway, those are stumbling blocks, and what a privilege it is to search the scriptures and have a childlike faith. Over.
Thank you. Thank you for emphasizing that, Brother Jerry. All those things that are brought out of the world's ignorance and unbelief and indifference that, you know, kind of, I met a person once who said, it'll all come out in the wash. But, you know, they say they aren't really that concerned. And that's what a lot of people in the world, that's the way they look at the situation. But, I think with all the events going on around us, I don't see how anybody can be indifferent to it without wondering, why is this happening? What is it leading to? What does it mean? And so how thankful we are that we understand. We have the Holy Spirit understand what's brought out in the scriptures, the prophecies. Well, let's see if we can get in the last paragraph in this section before we get to the next subheading. So, let's see here. We didn't have anybody from the room read. So I would like the, Sister Sharon Leslie, would you read that paragraph for us on page 190, beginning with another reasonable expectation?
Yes, brother. Page 190. Another reasonable expectation, if the times of restitution actually began with October AD 1874, and if our Lord's second presence would then do, would it be that those watching should see some distinguishable indications of what the scriptures explain to be the first work of the presence, that is, harvesting of the fruit of the gospel age, the gathering together of his elect in mental association and spiritual communion, and at least some preparatory steps toward the establishment of Christ's kingdom. Some of these evidences we have already briefly hinted at, but there is so much to be observed on this point that we must leave in consideration for a subsequent chapter. The harvest of the church is indeed upon us. The wheat is being separated from the tares, and affairs of the world, are rapidly shaping themselves, making ready for the permanent establishment of the Redeemer's kingdom. The foretold signs in the exact manner and order of the predictions are made clearly manifest to those watching. But this we leave for the present, because we wish first to bring other prophetic testimonies to view. Suffice it is to say here that the sickle in the harvest of this age, as in the Jewish harvest, is the truth, and that the messengers who use the sickle now are disciples or followers of the Lord, though many of them now, as they realize but slightly the magnitude of the work in which they are engaged. I think we appreciated, again, bringing out the thought about the restitution beginning because of the Lord's presence in 1874, and then what the first work is, the harvesting of the fruit, in that gospel age going over into the overlapping. It doesn't say overlapping here, but I'm saying. And then, I liked it. It may put in parenthesis, in mental association and spiritual communion. So showing, those two aspects. And then, further down, it points out that, the other thought I was going to say. Well, of course, we know the
wheat. Something about the sickle, maybe? The harvest?
Yeah, well, I brought up about the harvest. Okay, and, the foretold signs in the exact manner and order of their prediction. So I think that if we're, as already been pointed out by others of the brethren about the eye salve, so if you don't have the understanding, then you're not seeing you're not being able to read the prediction and what is happening and so forth. But anyway, down at the bottom, I see where you were talking about. who use the sickle now are disciples or followers of the Lord. So I think there's a scripture in Mark 4. Let's see if I can find it real quickly. Mark 4:29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Doesn't say will come, it says is come. Over. That's a Mark 4:29. The scripture I was reading in connection with the thought about the sickle. Over.
Thank you, Sister Sharon. Very good comments. I really appreciate that summary of that paragraph. Sister Margaret, you're muted.
Yeah, along the same line of the sickle of truth, a couple of scriptures came in to my mind, Revelation 14.
Revelation 14, right.
Yeah. And I'll read 15 and 16. Revelation 14, 15 and 16. Another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And then 18:4, which were familiar with Revelation 18:4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and receive not of her plagues. And here at the bottom of the paragraph, the messengers who use the sickle now are disciples or followers of the Lord. And I think we particularly saw the role of Brother Russell in, and that's what is meaning, I think, wherever it was that Sister, Mental Association and Spiritual Communion, when people left Babylon and came together to worship together with the message of truth, that's what changed so much for them. And as a group, we're able to fellowship and worship together on the blessed truths that were revealed at this time by our Lord's return and restitution. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for those thoughts and comments, Sister Margaret, and the Revelation 14, 15 and 16 and Revelations 18, 4 that Brother Bill was so quick to get into the chat. So, that's what I thought of when I saw that. The messengers, our pastor, the sickle of truth. Any other thoughts, any concluding thoughts? Because I think Brother Bill or Sister Donna?
Okay.
Matthew 24:31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The seventh trump, the trumpet of knowledge and liberty that we saw at the times of restitution begun. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. The seventh trump is sounding. Wait. Any other thoughts? Brother Walt.
Yes, just thinking of that Matthew 24:45, there's been provided a faithful servant, faithful and wise servant to kind of head up this witness work and this reaping work. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Walt. And some of us that were connected to the Wilmington Convention saw the harvest, testimony meeting that was supposed to be, and it was, it was supposed to be, and it was harvest work testimonies, and how the brethren had different methods of witnessing, and very helpful. And so we, you know, think of this, the hymn, few are the reapers, Lord, we will join in the harvest time and gather in the wheat, whatever the Lord provides. Well, I think that's a good concluding thought for our study today, brethren. And then next time in April, with a different leader, we'll begin the next heading, Prophetic Evidences Corroborative. So thank you, brethren, for all your good comments and scriptures. And we're going to close with Sister